determine which people count as household members.
Tampa Bay's TAN Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
Come on in, sit right down. Keep your hands up, keep your chin down. Shut the door, time to go with Randy Harrison. Knockout Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, Knockout Radio with Randy Harris is about to start. So get ready for the best MMA talk, games, interviews, surprises, and surprises anywhere for Knockout Radio. I'm the voice, Ray Flores, and now here's Knockout Radio.
Hey-o. Hey, everybody.
All right, we're going to attempt to be live again.
We are live.
It's still not right, but whatever.
Welcome to Knockout Radio, oh, Randy.
No,
it's a cluster.
It's hostile radio.
Hostile radio.
Yeah, that's what it is.
But technical difficulties happen in this kind of industry, right? I mean, musicians and bands, I mean, they have technical difficulties sometimes. What do they do? Do they just stall and wait for it to be fixed? Or like, well, the show must go on, Randy Harris, even if it's just you and I and nobody else can hear the show. It's just for us.
Well, no, people can hear it. Oh, we're still on the air.
Oh, okay.
Well, it's just not going through the right channels and all that kind of stuff, but which we need to get fixed because we have Michael Chandler coming on in about 10 minutes.
Ooh, and that fight looks like it's on as your boy, my boy, our boy, Conor McGregor, is
hold on.
USADA.
Just because you took a picture of him at a BKFC.
And the USADA testing pool, so he's taking this serious. He's getting ready to... throw fisticuffs.
Well, he better take it serious. You know,
Michael Chandler does not play games.
Michael Chandler's the real deal. A couple performances of the night, a couple fights of the night. And let me get off while I'm aggravated. let me continue my aggravation.
Okay.
And I've been arguing with people. Shocking.
Yeah.
One is my trainer, my head trainer. My assistant trainer is running around here somewhere, and then there's you. You got to work your way up, boy.
Listen, I'm already working my way. I'm already co-host of this show.
No, you're the co-host.
No, the co-host, the other co-host got shipped to Canada. He got deported, just like Kluckemeyer did. So yeah,
I hope Caleb does as well as Kluckemeyer's doing.
I talked to Caleb yesterday. He said,
of course you did.
He feels like a god. He said that's his text. He's like, I was like, how you feeling? I was like, how's Canada? He's like, I feel like a god.
Hey, whatever.
So
whatever.
But if you need it,
have you ever watched Shark Tank?
Of course.
Okay, so well, never mind. I better not say
I don't know if you'll ever feel like a god with the trainers you have. I don't know if you'll ever. I mean, you might feel hungry since you lost your lunch or your breakfast at the gym, but I would never push you that hard. You know, I'm creating healthy emotional trauma, not.
I didn't get pushed that hard. You know, Joe's listening now.
You didn't lose your lunch?
No, I didn't even eat. I went to eat.
I thought you said you lost it on the gym floor.
Yeah, it was. Come on. It was acting. You think you're the only actor? No.
What?
No.
That was very convincing, Randy.
See, over 2,000 views in an hour.
I believed the hype.
Yep. We did legs, and he gave me this crap about legs is difficult and whatever. But, no, I didn't eat breakfast because I wanted to be there early, and Joe ran into a holdup. But I didn't bring – or I would have eaten. I would have eaten, okay. But I ran out of the house. I didn't bring anything. So here's my complaint. To me, and I almost said some things to Joe's favorite person. You know, he thinks it's me, but I know it's not. So his favorite person who's involved with the gym and David Vieira's gym and whatever is disagreeing with me, which means right out of the blocks, he's wrong. fight of the night. How is the Angela Hill fight of the night? You're going to, and I like Angela Hill.
Yeah.
You know, I like her a lot. She steps up. She takes fights.
She's always fighting.
She got the crap kicked out of her for, I think she won one round possibly. So 22 minutes.
Okay.
So you're rewarding her for taking an ass whooping.
Yeah.
It wasn't fight of the night. Now.
Was it competitive a fight of the night?
It wasn't competitive at all.
Right.
And well, that's what I'm saying.
What's the criteria? What's the criteria for fight of the night? Does it have to be competitive? It has to be like.
To me.
Like,
to me.
Equal battle.
No, it needs to be competitive. Now, again, I'm not going to tell Dana how to spend his money or David Feldman or, you know, whoever on the bonuses. And I'm happy Angela got it. Because I really liked her, and I know that she's been screwed a couple times, you know, in decisions.
Sure.
But to me, competitive. You could still be, technically, a 50-45 and it'd still be competitive.
Sure.
But when it's 50-45 or even 49-46 and you didn't do anything in four rounds because you were getting the snot kicked out of you, to me, that's not fight of the night. Performance of the night.
Yeah, to endure that kind of beating for that long.
No, no, you don't deserve. To me, that's
like a journeyman, like a badge of honor, like a Clay Guida just taking it for the team.
And big ups for her. People and
like
that's
that.
What
people like watching that fight. Those kind of fights. I like to see that war of attrition.
No, they don't.
And then like maybe there's a chance that they could come back and like
zero chance.
Well, look at the Yair Rodriguez fight with the Korean Zombie. 1 second left in the 5-round main event.
Was it competitive?
It was. But okay. And then up elbow. But that's 1 second left. So at least you have a chance.
But that's what I'm saying. Competitive is one thing. You can be 50-45 and be competitive.
Sure.
You know, Keon and I were talking about the boxing thing the other night and how fans foolishly and incorrectly believe to beat the champ, you have to knock the champ out. That's not true.
Don't think so.
That's not
true.
But
you have to be convincing with it.
No.
If it's a tie, it's like baseball.
Tie goes to the runner.
If the tie, yeah. So tie goes to the runner. A tie in combat sports should go to the champion with the belt. Because you didn't do enough to convince them.
First of all, especially in boxing, a tie in one round is not going to change normally.
Right.
Normally. It could be, you know, especially in a three-rounder. I get that. I don't think that was anywhere near fight of the night. Now, another disagreement that I'm involved in.
You have many.
Well, and while I'm riled, we want to get these out.
All right.
So I've joined a new bare knuckle Facebook group.
Okay.
Okay. I'm trying to redevote. I'm trying to, do with more. Ken Shamrock is coming to town next week.
Oh, Valor bare knuckle.
Well, he's out. He's doing some search. He's looking. We have a decision to make as to. Can I finish?
Go ahead.
We have a decision to make for next Wednesday.
Oh.
Which you and I will discuss off the air.
Okay.
As to where we will broadcast next Wednesday.
Oh. We have options.
We do have options.
Okay.
We have some pretty good options. So in this bare knuckle thing, they're talking about Francis Ngannou.
Yes.
So some knucklehead said, we need to send our bare-knuckle guy, Ben Rothwell,
to
fight Francis Ngannou.
And?
That's the point.
It's PFL.
That's the point. So these knuckleheads are saying, bring some notoriety to bare-knuckle. And I said, it's not a bare-knuckle fight.
It's an MMA fight.
It has nothing to do with it. Now, I will tell you what Ben Rothwell responded,
because
I certainly don't want to get Big Ben mad at me.
Yeah, he's not the guy you want mad at.
It very well may happen, but Ben and I have been friends a long, long time, so I'm trying to find it. And basically he said, well, I'm the bare knuckle guy.
Okay.
Ben Rothwell is your next BKFC champion.
I believe that.
I believe it. I don't bet, and I'll bet you.
Okay.
Who's going to beat him?
I don't know.
First of all, Alan Belcher is half of Ben Rothwell.
Yeah, in size.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Right. In size, not in heart, not in stature, not in talent.
Lorenzo's not big enough.
No. Ben Rothwell will be your BKFC champion, no doubt. When they fight, if they were to fight in PFL, in boxing, in whatever, that's not bare knuckle.
Right.
So you can't say, well, I'm the bare knuckle guy. Yeah, you are the bare knuckle guy. You're not fighting bare knuckle. You're going to fight something else. And I'm sure David Feldman, if they chose Ben Rothwell to fight in PFL, Ben Rothwell would go. I'm sure Dave would let that happen. Right. I would think Dave, he may, you know, whatever. But it's not bare knuckle, so it doesn't even matter.
I did see a Facebook meme, and it showed Dana White, and it said the Netflix, Blockbuster CEO saying that Netflix wasn't even a blip on their radar. You know, back in their heyday. And now, like, PFL, he was questioning, like, the money and how much. And the PFL is not a big deal. Do you think Dana's concerned with the PFL?
I don't think Dana's concerned with anything. You know, and why is the NFL concerned with anybody? Are there up-and-comers?
Sure.
Sure.
There always will be.
Is PFL, honestly, and I don't want to start crap.
Right.
The UFC is the NFL.
It's the standard.
And that's what, you know, we've always said, NFL, this, that, the other. They are the NFL of mixed martial arts.
Right.
Who would be runner-up? Who would be the silver medalist?
Oh, kidding. Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay. Bellator.
Sure.
Isn't that sizably different?
For sure.
You know, Bellator to, you know, I mean, PFL, just because they dumped a lot of money in Ngannou, just because Ngannou is going to be on a board of trying to get, you know, PFL Africa and all that stuff. It's all, and I want to make something really clear, and then we need to hit this break. I'm not down on Francis Ngannou.
Right.
Big ups to you.
Oh, he had to do what's best for him.
Big ups.
And he stood his ground, and it paid off for him.
He hasn't gotten all the money yet, but, you know, we're assuming that he will, and that's fantastic. Do I think Francis Ngannou ran from John Jones? Absolutely not. I don't. I think if he would have gotten all of his demands, now he got turned down by many companies, BKFC, BYB, Bellator, you know, One, you know, a lot of them. He got a lot of the things that he wanted. Do you think, and then we need to hit this break, do you think Francis Ngannou going to PFL will change mixed martial arts in one iota?
No.
No. I agree.
Unless they unify all the belts and they come together like UFC versus PFL.
But they're not.
Like boxing.
It's like, this is like boxing.
One title.
Well, no. Boxing, they all have their own and they all do their own thing. And every once in a while, you get a champion. Normally, you don't.
But that would be a super fight if it was Jones versus Ngannou.
Why would the UFC do that? Money, why would
pay-per-view points?
Why? Why?
The revenue. Why are they doing it otherwise?
All right. I'm going to, and I know I said we need to hit this break. Michael Chandler coming up. But, and I'm going to offend you, and I don't mean to. That would be like Papa John's.
Yeah. John Shatner.
What is the biggest pizza company?
Oh, it's probably Pizza Hut or Domino's, maybe.
Well, whichever. Whichever. And I know I'm going to get you mad, but you don't like this place anyway.
Yeah.
That would be like Domino's doing a contest with you. It makes zero sense.
I would destroy the Noid.
Whatever. It makes zero sense. Let's go hit a break.
I've got no chance.
I'm done with Matt. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Sub.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Anthony Davis, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship presents BKFC 44, Friday, June 9th. In the main event, a world champion will be crowned as the number one ranked Kai Hefty Bag Stewart knuckles up with the number two ranked Louis El Loco Lopez. In the co-main event, Dallas Davidson tries to get back on the winning track against the undefeated Lloyd Cupcake Mix. Watch it live on the BKFC app. Download it at BKFC.com.
Tour de Pizza is back as Tournament Day Pizza, located at 170 47th Avenue Northeast in St. Petersburg. Located inside the Racquet Club of St. Pete, we've proudly been serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the last 15 years and running. Tour de Pizza, full menu, full liquor bar, same great pizza, Tour de Pizza. Visit us online at tourdepizza.com. Now remember, a slice a day keeps the doctor away. Tour de Pizza, it's where winners eat.
Saturday, June 24th. The UFC returns to Jacksonville. The heavy-handed Josh Emmett looks to turn back undefeated phenom Ilia Topuria, plus dangerous Brazilian Amanda Ribas, takes on the future Macy Barber. Don't miss UFC Fight Night. Emmett versus Topuria, live from ViStar Veterans Memorial Arena. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
This is Randy Harris for Mick for Hair at Got Split End Salon in Pinellas Park, our official hair care and grooming provider who caters to everyone, women, men, kids. kids, and senior citizens in an affordable, upscale environment staffed with the most talented professionals in the business. Visit Mick for Hair at Gottsplit Ends today at 4376 Park Boulevard in Pinellas Park, or call them at 727-290-9873.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is Dale Murphy, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
All right, we are back coming to you live from Tournament de Pizza. Savannah Bananas were in Vegas.
Yeah.
Over the weekend.
They recreated the hangover scene, the infamous wake-up scene from the hangover.
The greatest
show on earth.
I didn't see that, but I saw my guy Shane Victorino play.
How upset would you be if you're a pro baseball player that like these guys are having the time of their life? They're entertaining fans. They're traveling around. They're rock stars on a diamond. Like, and you're playing pro ball, and there's no one in the stands. Nobody cares. Oh, you know, those America's pastime.
I wouldn't necessarily put it that way.
In certain markets, no one cares. Certain cities, there's like no fans. You know, like it's. If you're the Savannah Bananas, you're like living the dream.
I was there for season one of The Ultimate Fighter. Remember it vividly.
Yeah.
Randy Couture, Chuck Liddell, Willa Ford, you know, was involved in it. Next week kicks off the 31st season of The Ultimate Fighter.
Already?
On the phone with us right now, one of the coaches. Let's welcome to the program for the first time, Michael Chandler. Michael, how are you?
What's up, boys? I am doing great, man. Excited.
We appreciate your time. Let's get right into it. I'm sure you've seen seasons. You've watched some of The Ultimate Fighter. And I'm curious, what did you do, if anything, to prepare, you know, to be the coach on season 31?
Man, I got to be honest, I didn't do a lot. You know, I think just with my 15 years of experience in mixed martial arts, I knew I was going to have the technical side of things plus the mindset, spiritual side of things to be able to coach my guys. Kind of set. And then obviously from the reality TV side of things, you really can't prepare. You know, you just got to go in with an open mind and open heart and expect the best. And it was definitely an interesting couple weeks out there in Vegas while we were filming 24/7 nonstop. And it was a blast. It was hard at times, but it was good. So there wasn't a lot of preparation. We just went out there and hit the ground running.
Obviously, we're not going to talk about any episodes. We're going to have the winning fighter on every week. Hopefully, we can get you back on during the season. So we're not trying to get any information at all. But I'm curious, maybe what would you have done differently and what every single coach and every single fighter has told me since season one, one of the most important things is location of your bedroom. That as soon as you get into that house, that's what you need to do first.
Yeah, I think that does... That is, and it was funny too. Obviously, I had my own house. Connor had his own house. That was one of my stipulations. I'm like, I am not living in a house like that with 16 other dudes. But the fighters themselves, they did tell that story. They said, yeah, we would get off the buses and everybody ran inside to go claim the bedroom. And, you know, obviously it's no secret. It's not a, it's a nice large fighter house, but it's still 16 dudes. So you're talking bunk beds, you know, four people, six people to a room. It is not the best living quarters whatsoever, especially when you're talking about brushing your teeth next to the guy that you're going to fight, having breakfast with the guy that you're going to fight. So it was an interesting experience for those fighters, to say the least. So it was my job as a coach to kind of bring them back mentally and make sure they focused on the task at hand, which is going out there, getting their hand raised, and try to become the ultimate fighter.
I was going to throw out that I really would have felt bad for six people sharing a room. When I was in the Navy, there was about 50 of us in an 8x10 room. That was our sleeping quarters. But then when you added about brushing your teeth next to your opponent and seeing them like that, that definitely puts a whole different perspective on it.
Yeah, it does. You know, I mean, and that's the competition ultimate fighter microcosm that these guys were thrown into. Now, granted, you know, they knew what they were signing up for, but you never quite know until you actually get there. And then the matchups get made, the teams get selected. There's a little bit of animosity between you and a guy on the team, or even you and a guy on your team, or you and the other coach, the other coaching staff. There's a lot of testosterone pumping through 20-something bodies out there, all in a very small vicinity over a period of time out there in Vegas while we're filming this thing. Everyone's mic'd up, cameras on at all times. So I got to be honest, man, I'm really, really excited for the world to see this season. A lot of really, really cool aspects of it, not just the fights, but the fighters themselves, the coaches themselves, and all the different things that we had to do, man. It's going to be a fun season on ESPN all summer.
When you said that your stipulation in your contract was that you couldn't, I thought you were going to say that you wasn't going to share a place with Connor. I didn't expect you to say to share a place with the 16 guys.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was more, hey, you know, I know what I was signing up for, but I also needed to have my own space. I knew I was going to go there, hit the ground running, and I was going to pour every single ounce of my being into being the best coach every minute of every single day for those for that month and a half that we were there. So in order to do that, I do need my own space. So I woke up, got my own little routine, focused on me for about 5-10 minutes in the morning. Then the rest of the 23 hours, the rest of the day was focused on how do we get these guys in the best situation. So I needed my own space.
You've obviously cornered, you know, fighters for many, many years, and fighters have always told me it's one thing when it's you in the octagon, when it's you in the cage fighting, but when it's somebody that is relying on you as a corner guy, it's totally different. Is that the case with you?
Yeah, it's totally different, and to be honest, it's totally it's much more nerve-wracking. You know, when I go out there and fight, I've already known that I've prepared. I've already known that I've done every single thing possible, left no stone unturned, and if I go out there and lose, I lose. It was the way it was supposed to be. But when I was in charge of these guys' rest of their life, I was in charge of being a pivotal catalyst to them either becoming the Ultimate Fighter, getting a UFC contract or not, it really, really was important to me that these guys won. And Team Chandler did well, but I would be lying if I was saying that there wasn't certain regrets or certain areas where I wish I would have done better, because I wanted to be the best for these guys. And it was definitely nerve-wracking watching my guys wear my colors with my name on the back of their jersey. I was so proud of it, but it was also a very very bittersweet and tough scenario to watch these guys go out there and compete, because I wanted them to win.
What could have happened, would have happened, you know, we don't know if it did happen. You know, you have one thought. You know, a fighter that you just met, he's part of Team Chandler. He's thinking something different. Obviously, you're the veteran. You know, you're the guy that everybody knows. How do you guys discuss that as to, you know, how you're going to move forward?
That's a great question, too, because, you know, these guys had just met me. Yeah, maybe they're a fan of my work in the octagon. Maybe they want to be like me someday. Maybe there are certain aspects of who I am and how I fight that they want to emulate, and it's going to make them a better fighter. But they're also their own individual person. They're also their own individual athlete, and they're carrying all of the habits and all of the training and all of the years of experience that they brought outside of the Ultimate Fighter into the Ultimate Fighter. And if I was going to go right away and start changing their game plans or changing who they are as a fighter, it could have led to their detriment. So there's a fine line between, hey, here's a couple things that we definitely want to work on. Here's where we need you to be mentally, physically, and spiritually, but also, let's not negate the gifts that you already have. You're very good here. You're very good in this position. So let's focus on those things, but also tweak a couple little things. Make sure I wasn't imposing my philosophy, my mixed martial arts philosophy, too much to let these guys be their own individual fighter. But there was kind of a mixture on my team, if you will. Guys that were 100% bought in. Hey, coach, you tell me to do this, I'm going to do it 100%. And then there's other guys who were kind of like, yeah, I don't really do it that way. I don't really, you know, fight this way. I'm not really that guy. And I welcomed both of those. I'm completely fine with my fighters standing on their own 2 feet. And I'm also fine with the guy who wholeheartedly, blindly follows me into the octagon with the way that I was going to train them. And it was a good mixture of both. And you're going to see it on ESPN all summer. There was some tension. There was some tears. There was some highs. There were some lows. And it's a very interesting scenario that we threw ourselves into there in Vegas. And it's all going to play out on ESPN this summer.
So Michael, you talk about coming to the table prepared. I did not today, but I remember seeing a Facebook meme or something this week where it showed the dominance in the UFC of Olympic wrestlers or NCAA wrestlers. So you're coaching throughout the season, take your wrestling background into consideration and apply it to their strategy of a mixed martial artist, because statistically it shows that they're more successful. Do you believe in that theory?
I absolutely believe in it, but I always say, when people talk about what's the best base for mixed martial arts, I always say wrestling. But it's not actually, to me, about the fact of being able to pick a guy up and put him down and be dominant on the ground, have great body awareness, be able to have good cage control and ground control, which leads to TKOs on the ground, ground and pound on the ground, or submissions on the ground. It's more about the mental aspect of why wrestlers are successful. What we put ourselves through for thousands and thousands of hours just molds you into a mentally strong, mentally superior human being who is happier, healthier, and harder to kill because of the comfort zones that you have gotten yourself outside of. So me being able to take that wrestling mentality, of course, yeah, working on the takedowns, working on takedown defense, working on the X's and O's of the grappling exchanges was important, but how can I get my guys to believe in themselves, believe they deserve success, and believe that they are going to get their hand raised on fight night? That was the most important thing. And with a very short amount of time to be able to instill that in those guys, I think we did a pretty darn good job. But it remains to be seen on ESPN this summer.
And along those lines of discipline and the hours, you know, how big of a professional is Michael Chandler? He's now said ESPN like six times. This guy knows what he's doing.
He's definitely a professional. Well, but what makes him a bigger professional, Randy, is Michael took his weight loss or weight cuts where he missed weight, and he made it a point to change the discipline to make it a profession. And we argue all the time, Randy, about how you have one job as a fighter, and that's to make weight. So how are these young guys treat their weight cuts compared to, like, the old school guys?
No, good question. I will correct you there. I have never missed weight ever in my entire life. I have had some hard weight cuts where it came down to the wire. But, you know, you live and you learn, and you become better because of it. And the weight cutting aspect of it is extremely, extremely hard. There's a bunch of different ways to do it. There's a bunch of different, and really it all comes down to discipline. It really does. And I fancy myself a guy who, you know, as you said, I try to be as professional as I can. I try to do everything right, mainly because it makes things easier. Make it hard, make it disciplined, so it then, as a byproduct, becomes easier, and then you perform better. So the weight cutting aspect of, you know, you got to remember too, these guys were there for 4 or 5 weeks, and they might have fought two or three times in that time period. So you got to make weight, then make weight a couple weeks later. It was tough on these guys, but we had a great coaching staff. Obviously, I had other wrestlers on my coaching staff. We kept eyes on these guys, kept tabs on them, making sure we put them in the best scenario possible to be successful on fight night. And weight cutting was a huge aspect of it. But those old school guys, I think, have cut a lot more weight than more of the new school guys, or at least we have so many more anecdotal experiences of the old school guys to tell us what to do, what not to do. And I'm that 15-year veteran to be able to tell these younger guys, this is how we should do it. If you don't believe in me, you can do it yourself, but you can believe in yourself and do it the way you always do it. But this is the way I would do it. And we had some pretty good, pretty easy weight cuts there on the show.
Like I tell most of the fighters that come on, my next weight cut will be my cremation.
Exactly.
Are you a fan of other sports, other teams, other athletes outside of the MMA world?
Yeah, I am. I'm not a huge sports guy, got to be honest with you. Obviously, I'm here in Nashville, Tennessee, so I'm a Titans fan, a Nashville Predators fan. I do watch the sport of mixed martial arts. I follow it because I believe if you want to be interesting, you have to be interested. You have to know about your sport that you're talking about. And I watch bull riding, and then I'm a St. Louis Cardinals fan because I'm born and raised in St. Louis. So that's kind of the sports I follow. And I do love those guys who rise above, create a mystique and a brand about themselves where they're doing it for more than just the X's and O's, the bright lights, and they're doing it for an impact.
I believe before you were born, I was the bat boy for the St. Louis Cardinals.
Come on now. Now we're talking. That's awesome.
Hey, yeah, I go back Lou Brock, Keith Hernandez.
All right.
Ozzie Smith.
Definitely before my time. I remember Ozzie, man. I remember Ozzie growing up, you know, growing up watching watching Ozzie Smith, the backflips, and now, you know, it's kind of cool. My signature after I knock a guy out is doing backflips in the octagon. So maybe a subtle hat tip to Ozzie Smith and the St. Louis Cardinals.
There was some good times back then, and Ozzie Smith, totally a class dude. I always ask, especially the first time a guest comes on, whether a fighter, a rock star who was just on, Jason Schaff, if you could have dinner with any four people outside of your gym, outside of your family, living, passed away, real or fictitious, who would you sit out and eat with?
Daggum, that's tough. But you got me with the real or fictitious. I got a good one for that one. So I would definitely say living. I would say The Rock. I would say Muhammad Ali. I'd say Jesus Christ. And then I would say King Leonidas from the movie 300.
Okay. I was gonna say, yep, I've had dinner with The Rock. Yes, I know. I've met Muhammad Ali. I had dinner with him. No, I did not have dinner with Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Exactly.
I am old, but not quite that old. Are you the type
not
of
quite
guy?
That old.
Say what?
No, yeah, just not quite that old.
Yeah, not quite that old. No. Are you the type of guy that can kind of keep things inside? And obviously, I'm talking now about your opposing coach. When I was in the military boot camp, you know, they try to get in your head, they try to get under your skin. I would stand there, I took it, and I laughed my butt off inside. Are you the type of guy that can do that, or is emotions and knowing that that's what the opposing coach, Conor McGregor, I'm sure, tried to do?
Yeah, no, I think that was the one thing. Going back to, I think, your first question about what did I prepare for? You know, once you get lined up against Conor, we're going to fight later this year, the mind games start, and then I'm on a reality TV show opposite him, and knowing that he loves to talk and loves to do his Conor thing when the cameras start rolling. That was one thing that I really started to kind of visualize and rehearse or prepare for. And the biggest thing for me was to keep it more compartmentalized, to keep it more unemotional, to keep it more inside, because you never want to let them see you sweat. You never want to let them see you squirm. And I think I did a pretty good job of that. I'd be lying to say, saying I did it perfectly, because it was a long time around him. Yeah, mainly try to keep it inside, and then keep the main thing, not take it too seriously. Realize that he's going to say what he's going to say. We're on a reality TV show. It's going to be cut any way that they want to cut it. Not be too married to this thing and me looking the way that I want to look on TV all summer. And I think it was overall a great experience, phenomenal experience, but I definitely tried to make sure Conor didn't see me sweat at all.
Where will you be watching next Tuesday?
Actually, next Tuesday, I will be watching by myself. The first show, my wife and I are going to sit right here on our couch here in Nashville, Tennessee, us watching it by ourselves. And then I'll rewatch it, because I'm doing my own Cuff reaction show every single week, right? That will post right after the show on my YouTube channel. So all the fans can kind of see what was I thinking during this episode, what my firsthand experience, my anecdotal experience of what was going on, the ups and the downs, the emotion, all those different things. So I'll be, you know, I lived it, but the show itself is going to be a little bit different, because I don't know how it's going to be cut. And we took, you know, hundreds and hundreds of hours of footage and cut it down to 12 hours this summer. So it's going to be interesting, but I will be right here with my wife, just us two, and watching by ourselves as the show starts on Tuesday, at Tuesday, May 30th. And it's going to be a, going to be interesting. I can't wait to see how I feel. I'm not quite sure how I'm going to feel, but and then I got a bunch of different plans the rest of the summer. As I said, doing the reaction show, I'll be going to different places, interviewing people, traveling around. But this one, me and my wife by ourselves in the comfort of our home.
I appreciate your time. Only a couple more. This is longer than I told Dave Lockett it would go, but I appreciate your time. You said that you don't know how it's going to be cut up, and we never do. Are you worried about that at all? And the reason I'm asking is I remember vividly when Matt Hughes kind of turned, you know, everybody loved Matt Hughes. Then he's the coach on The Ultimate Fighter. Some video came out specifically of him playing solitaire right after one of his fighters fought. And everybody blasted Matt. They still blast Matt about it. Only in reality, he played cards 2 weeks sooner. And they spliced it together that way. Are you concerned about that in any way?
You know, I think that was one thing that I have been prepared for, obviously, right before the show, during the show, and now we've had a couple of months since the show was done and wrapped, and now they can cut it whatever way they want. I think it's it's one of those things where I'm living my truth. I am authentically me. I was authentically me during the show. If they decide to cut it up any way they want to do it, obviously the, you know, for lack of a better term, the cards will fall the way they will. You know, if I have a solitaire situation, I have a solitaire situation. But also, man, it's going to, no matter what, it's going to be overall positive. There's going to be some ups and downs with it, I'm sure. There's going to be some times where I probably lay my head on pillow at night and say, man, I don't like the way they did that. But also, you can't control it. So I try to focus on what I can control, and that's how I respond to how it comes out, and then continue to move forward and bringing people value. And then, like I said, too, I'm doing my own reaction show every single week to where I can give you my firsthand experience. Hey, guys, I think they cut it differently. So,
what is the YouTube channel? Let everybody know.
So it'll be mine. So it's youtube.com/MikeChandlerMMA. So I'm Mike Chandler MMA on all my socials. And go, anybody who's going to subscribe right now, we got our first episode coming out here soon. It's a pre-tough episode where we're going to lay everything out. We're giving away prizes. We're going to have a bunch of really cool guests on. I'm going to have a bunch of my fighters come on and join me either in studio here in Nashville or via Zoom. And it'll be good to be able to chop it up, talk about it, reminisce. And also, as you said, you know, if there is a Matt Hughes solitaire moment, I can correct them in real time as the show airs.
Very good stuff. Michael, thank you very much for your time. I know we have your address. We're going to send you a care package from 8-Man Strong for coming on, and hopefully we'll get you back on during the season.
You got it. I'm always down, man. I appreciate you all. Thank you for the opportunity, and I'll see you at stop.
We'll talk to you very soon. Michael Chandler, one of the two coaches, and I'm going to say 72% of fans are going to be rooting for Michael Chandler in this.
Yeah, the 72 exact.
Oh, yeah. I flipped the coin. It came down. See, I did my research. It was 72.
Well, that's because you're a professional.
So, right? All right, let's go hit a quick break. Coming to you live from Tournament de Pizza. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8-Man Strong and Staff Zone.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, this is James Brown from Sporting News Radio, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? Staff Zone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
Saturday, June 24th, the UFC returns to Jacksonville. The heavy-handed Josh Emmett looks to turn back undefeated phenom Ilia Topuria, plus dangerous Brazilian Amanda Ribas, takes on the future Macy Barber. Don't miss UFC Fight Night, Emmett versus Topuria, live from ViStar Veterans Memorial Arena. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
Does your garage door opener seem to have a mind of its own? Or is it a squeaky or noisy garage doors? Sounds like they need a simple tune-up. Call Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. That's M-O-R-S-E Boulevard Garage Doors at 727-522-5070. I'm so glad I did, and they fixed my garage door correctly on the very first visit. Moores Boulevard Garage Doors offers 24/7 service and no extra charge for nights or weekend emergency calls. Repair or replace your garage door with Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. Call them today at 727-522-5070.
Saturday, June 24th, the UFC returns to Jacksonville. The heavy-handed Josh Emmett looks to turn back undefeated phenom Ilia Topuria, plus dangerous Brazilian Amanda Ribas, takes on the future Macy Barber. Don't miss UFC Fight Night, Emmett versus Topuria, live from ViStar Veterans Memorial Arena. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
This is Randy Harris for Mick for Hair at Got Split End Salon in Pinellas Park, our official hair care and grooming provider who caters to everyone, women, men, kids, and senior citizens in an affordable, upscale environment staffed with the most talented professionals in the business. Visit Mick for Hair at Got Split End today at 4376 Park Boulevard in Pinellas Park, or call them at 727-290-9873.
Got bills? Looking for work, but nobody is hiring? StaffZone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, StaffZone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the StaffZone way.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is George Foreman, and I'm talking sports with Randy Harris.
This is Knockout Radio, coming to you live from Tournament Day Pizza. And Michael Chandler was great.
What a good dude.
Great guy. And you're right. He's right. That in real time, you can actually correct things that come out in editing. So
no,
you
it's don't, smart that he's doing
so
that.
So because everything's on a tape delay in Hollywood or on film or on reality shows, being able to correct those things in real time is a huge advantage compared to the old school days. You know, even back when there was like 8 tracks around. You had to like wait for...
Oh, you had to bring up 8 tracks again? What is 8-track your mode?
Mean, maybe Jason Sheff brings 8 tracks back to where it's cool again. I mean, I think he's got the star power to make it happen.
I still have 8 tracks.
He's selling an autographed CD for $25 on his website.
I know.
The CD's worth $25. I mean, to get an autograph by Jason Sheff?
I know.
Steve, can I borrow $24? I would like to buy you a gift.
I was on his website earlier.
Yeah.
You know, to prepare.
He's got a mug.
Because I prepare.
T-shirt. CD.
And he is a good guy. I met him many, 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 many years ago. One of the few co-hosts I liked less than you.
Okay.
You know, there's not many. Most of them are above you. One of the ones that are below you.
There's somebody at the bottom?
Yeah.
Oh,
well, you're not.
I thought I was the base.
No, you're not. There's one or two
it's
that
like
are below.
The pyramid. The most important part of the pyramid is the bottom.
Well, if that's the case, we're in trouble. Because if this guy's below you, we're in trouble.
Because the pyramids are the greatest thing ever made on Earth. And I'm the base of this show.
I believe Jason sang at David Wells' wedding.
Okay.
You know, they go back to San Diego days.
Wow.
Now, I was just with David, and I forget what Larry, the cable guy's real name is. That big tournament's coming up next week that I was invited to, but somebody forgot the invitation, I guess.
Oh.
So I'm working on that.
Okay.
There is a rumor, a possibility, and it depends on, because Steve will be out of town.
Oh.
Which means you need to come to the house and pick me up.
Okay.
And we may broadcast next week from Orlando.
I can stop and get my wife a cake. There's more Brazilians in Orlando than in Brazil.
Can you order it like today so it'll be ready?
Yeah. Well, it's got to be fresh. Can't be...
How long did we have to wait last time?
Not that long. I mean, it was more like the fans when the limo pulled up and everybody didn't know who was getting out. They thought I was important. And I had to sign autographs and CDs and 8 tracks. It was
shut up.
It took time.
Oh, my God. Just shut
my
up.
My hand hurts. Look at that.
So, LeBron James is hinting that he may retire.
Not a chance.
You know, here's the thing, and one of the more intelligent people involved in Knockout Radio, my son, brought to my attention, Bronny.
Yeah, son.
Okay. Who people can't believe that he didn't go to Ohio State.
Right.
He lives in L.A. Why would you want to go live in Ohio?
Yeah, there's no reason.
He'll make more money playing college ball than he will in the pros.
True.
So,
NIL.
Basically meaning that, you know, LeBron wanted to play 1 year with them, blah, blah, blah. Well, he's not going to be around for 5 more years.
Yeah, but I think he still gets that chance. I think that's a big
deal. Oh, they may bring him back.
I think it's a big deal for him.
For who?
For LeBron.
Well, the only way that happens, in my opinion, 5 years from now, is if LeBron owns the Las Vegas basketball team.
Oh, yeah. Like
you know, which he's already talked about doing.
A Magic Johnson deal?
Yeah, you know, a Michael Jordan deal. You know, Jordan was the same thing. Nobody's going to want LeBron James in 5 years. Now, I want to clear the air about something. Okay, I'm tired of people, and I've said this before, LeBron stinks. LeBron's awful. LeBron, you know, the way LeBron plays is not very professional. You know, he's a diva. Like, he got a foul called against him, okay? Against him, on him or whatever.
Okay.
That he wasn't even touched. Wasn't even touched, but it's LeBron, and then he falls to the ground. You act like he got shot.
Who's a better actor? You in your leg video from your workout this morning?
Oh, me, of course.
With Joe?
No, me.
Or LeBron in his flops?
Well, because you referenced today, I sold that.
You did.
I sold it.
You did. I believed it. I don't believe LeBron because no one's around him when he falls down.
Right, exactly.
It's like his vertebrae just gives out.
You know, like he got shot. You know, he's a better actor than these soccer players. I
can't say that.
I didn't say the B-O word. Leave me alone.
I'm not saying anything.
It's fine to say that. So I really dislike when fans say that he stinks. He doesn't stink. Let's just go out on a limb and say that Michael Jordan is the greatest basketball player of all time. Okay? Because the debate is going to continue. Is it him? Was it Wilt? You know, was it LeBron? Let's say LeBron's fourth. He doesn't stink if he's the fourth greatest NBA player of all time.
He's got all the accolades.
That's what I'm saying.
He's the GOAT. I mean, he's got to be up there. I mean, the points leader. Like, he's got the hardware. He's got the championship rings. I mean, he's.
But would you want him to have the ball down one with 4 seconds left? Today, not 5 years. Today.
Yeah.
You would? That's the guy you want?
Well.
I don't know. Well, obviously not me. I take the monster in Denver. That dude's a monster.
He's
MVP twice.
Yeah.
He needs to win this, I think, you know, to solidify. Not that you need a title. You know, this isn't a Dan Marino thing per se. And the way Butler's been playing in Miami, I want Butler to have the ball.
Speaking of legendary actors and pretty good football players, the world lost a legend last week, Jim Brown.
And let's keep it MMA-wise. I don't know if you know this. Or if you remember this, but Jim Brown was one of the commentators.
Yeah, he had his little beanie on and sitting octagon side.
Yep. I remember
the UFC was tournament style.
Loved the tournament. I did love the tournament, but you don't get these great fights like we get now because you can't. You couldn't.
Right.
You know, you couldn't go out there Clay Guida style, Michael Chandler style, any of those styles where it's winning. You know, and that was the whole thing that Dana's always said about, do you want to be an effing fighter? You know, it's especially when we're in the house, and Roy Nelson used to say that you can't fight the first fight that way, because in less than 3 days, 5 days, whatever it is, you're going to fight again.
Well, the original UFC fought three times in a night.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The tournament stopped.
Sure.
Unless it's UFC 11 when people faked injuries so they didn't have to fight Mark Coleman.
They were flopping back then.
Oh, it was they were flopping all right.
But then you have, you know, things like this where Francis Ngannou might not fight for 2 years, you know, like in between fights.
Well, John hasn't fought in that long, too.
Yeah, 3 years.
You know, so it's people that are dumping on Francis for not fighting. I don't have a problem with that. He didn't get the deal he wanted, even though he signed a contract. He turned things down. He, you know, whatever. He got what he wanted. And what people don't understand in the combat world, in the MMA world, the UFC is going to get along without Francis Ngannou. They're going to get along with no matter who they've lost. Arguably their second biggest name of all time, when he left, Brock Lesnar.
Oh, yeah.
They were fine. Conor hasn't fought in how long? How long?
I don't know. 4 years?
Well, I don't think it's 4 years. It's his last fight, wasn't it the broken leg against Poirier?
Oh, yeah, Poirier.
So it's been a couple years.
Right.
They've continued on. We were just in Charlotte, sellout. Wherever we went before, sellout. They're going to continue selling out. You know, and everybody is dumping on the UFC. Oh, you're going to be nothing without Francis Ngannou. What?
Nah, no.
What?
No, he was never even that big of a star.
But it, but it doesn't even matter that. If John Jones decides never to fight again, they're going to go on.
Right.
They're going to continue on. They're going to get bigger. They're going to find better. It's going to continue on. The biggest name for a long time, Anderson Silva. They did fine without him.
Yeah.
Habib. They've done fine without him.
I mean, Anderson at one point was the most decorated, most feared, the greatest champion that they'd ever seen. Like, no one could crack that puzzle like that.
I'm only going to disagree in that I'm not going to go with feared.
It wasn't feared, no.
You said feared.
Not necessarily feared, but he was the champ.
He was the man.
No one could figure out his puzzle pieces.
Absolutely.
He was a counter-striker. He waited for you to, like, you know, make a mistake.
What would have happened? And I hate what ifs and, you know, all that kind of stuff, but I'm going to give you a what if. What if Anderson Silva didn't act like a total jackass against Chris Weidman?
I mean,
wins that fight.
He would have walked away, and it would have been the legacy of the greatest to just walk away in this problem, like Jim Brown did. He was the greatest football player of his day, and he just walked away because he didn't come to terms.
Right.
He didn't want to be a gladiator. He wanted to be an actor. They said you had to choose acting or football. Expected him to choose football because he was the most dominant player ever. And then they said, nah, I choose acting.
Right.
So, I mean, I think if Anderson would have won that fight, and he would have fought, you know, in fights, to not play around in the octagon, he would have walked away as the greatest ever do it.
That's Seagal's fault, allegedly.
He would have been the greatest ever do it. And we would still be talking. He would be more like Bruce Lee, iconic, where it would have never been tested.
Okay, let me ask you this. Another hypothetical that you really can't answer, but I want to hear your wrong answer. So Anderson beats Chris Weidman.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't rope a dope or stick his head out and pull it back, and he doesn't get knocked out. And he wins another three fights. He's on that GOAT status because he was discussed as the GOAT,
for sure,
you know, back then. And then he does lose his final fight, or even he loses two fights at the end.
Yeah.
Okay. And then John Jones does what John Jones does.
Still Anderson. Still Anderson. And here's what I'm
okay with that.
And if he beats Weidman and he just says, you're like, there's no competition for me in this sport, I don't want to do this anymore, I'm just going to go back to Brazil.
That's not the scenario
But if he would have done that,
I'm going to disagree with you.
That's the ultimate mic drop.
But I'm going to disagree with you. John Jones went up a division, won the heavyweight title. If he beats Stipe and then walks away, if he beats Stipe and then loses after, I would disagree. I would say John Jones would be that then. The what ifs. I hate the what if game. You know, what if I get hit by a car walking out of here?
Yeah, right.
Well, I'm going to watch what car you get in, just to be careful.
The blue one.
No, that's what I'm getting in. I'm saying what? Oh, yours is blue too. That's right. I didn't know which one you had. So that's a what if discussion.
They can call us the boys in blue.
Yeah, as long as they don't call us together. together in blue. I had it out with somebody on the Book of Face the other day.
You do that often.
Why would somebody post "Happy Birthday, Chris Benoit"? Now, first of all, this is just my belief. Hold on. This is just my belief. Saying happy birthday to somebody who's dead to me is just silly. That's just me. Two, to wish that piece of crap anything other than more fire and more hell. Why somebody would say that, I don't get it.
Well, I mean, maybe it's just a factual thing. Like, maybe there's from a calendar standpoint.
As much as that's still a stupid comment, if you were to say, today was Chris Benoit's birthday.
There you go.
Still stupid, but that's not saying happy birthday, Chris Benoit. Yeah. Well, that's like saying happy birthday, Hitler.
Well, I have one for you. Which one's more stupid? Okay. Well, you just read. Oh, what about this one? In the 1990s, Benjamin Shriver was found guilty of murdering a man by hitting him with a stick. He was sentenced to spend the rest of his life in prison. In 2015, Shriver had kidney stones and became very sick, in which he died five times on the table, but doctors brought him back to life. And his lawyer petitioned that he'd already served his life sentence.
Ooh.
And that he should be set free.
Well, first of all, I have spoken to a few medical people.
Okay.
And I've asked them. And they said, when you die, you're dead.
Okay.
Not they bring you back. Then you didn't die. Your heart might have stopped.
Okay.
But you're not dead.
Okay.
Now, I did see one. I just recently read that somebody was at his funeral. He was at his funeral in the casket and woke up. How does that happen? How does that happen? Because I want to know.
Yeah.
Because I want to do it.
Yeah. Well, I'll be there in attendance because I want to make sure it's
real. No, you're going to nail the thing shut.
But I want to make sure it's real so I can get the show.
You're not getting the show. It's in the will.
Well, I'll take the will with me.
Yeah. Not going to happen.
Was it written on crayon? On the napkin?
No, chisel.
Oh, yeah.
It was, yeah, the chisel and the.
Maybe we could transfer it to an 8-track.
How about Michael Chandler thought that was a funny ha-ha, and he gave you an okay?
Well, the Jason Sheff.
Who?
You said Michael Sheff.
I said it on purpose.
Oh.
Jason Sheff is coming up.
Oh, yeah.
He's in Orlando.
I can't wait.
Why, are you going?
We should go. We should cook for him.
All right, now how are you going to get in? Are you going to buy a ticket to get into Epcot?
I'll just tell them that I'm here.
Yeah, that'll work. It.
I just show up like it.
Just tell them.
I don't need tickets.
Here's how you get in. You bring a bunch of pizzas and say Ron DeSantis sent you.
Well, I took a U-Haul to the White House yesterday, and that didn't work out real well.
I want no part of whatever you're trying to say.
Did you see the guy with the U-Haul?
No.
Rammed the gates of the White House?
Was it ironic that I posted photos of me being at the White House?
You did.
I've been in the White House a couple times. Been in the White House.
Did you drive a U-Haul to it?
No.
What would prop somebody to, like, a 19-year-old kid to, like, get a U-Haul and drive it into the security gate of the White House? What do you think's going to happen? It's just stupid.
I'll tell you what should happen. That's why when you do anything, I will tell you when we come back, when is the time to jump the fence at the White House? This is from Secret Service. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Sergeant.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Warren Moon, former NFL quarterback, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows.
WTAN Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF Dade City.
FM 102.3.
Listen.